Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a nation that still imports every single ton of lithium, cobalt and nickel it needs for electric vehicle batteries and renewable energy storage. That picture is changing, and today we will walk through the bold steps India is taking, from critical minerals to tribal festivals, wildlife corridors and high-speed trains, all with an eye on what matters for your exam. First, let us talk about the National Critical Mineral Mission, the strategic push that aims to break India's total import dependence on 10 critical minerals. Launched in 2025, the mission is backed by a massive corpus of 34,300 crore rupees for the period 2025 to 2031, administered by the Ministry of Mines. India today is 100% import dependent for minerals such as lithium, cobalt and nickel, the lifeblood of electric vehicle batteries and renewable energy storage systems. To secure these resources abroad, the government created Kabil Khanij Bidesh India Limited, a joint venture of NALCO, HCL and MACL, which serves as the country's overseas mineral acquisition arm. Kabil has already signed a 200 crore rupee agreement with Argentina to explore lithium in the famed Lithium Triangle, the region that holds about 65% of the world's lithium reserves. Now, why is this important? Remember this number. India ranks second globally in aluminium production and third in iron ore production as of 2025. Domestic refined copper output has surged 43.5% in the first half of fiscal year 2026. These figures show a growing capacity to process raw materials, yet the critical minerals still have to come from abroad. The mission also aligns with the Mineral Security Partnership, a 40-nation grouping that includes the United States, the European Union, Japan and Australia, all working together to diversify critical mineral supply chains. The Mines and Minerals Amendment Act of 2025 gives the central government authority over 24 strategic minerals, reinforcing policy control. The Geological Survey of India has already undertaken 368 critical mineral exploration projects in just 3 years, and the government has launched a recycling incentive scheme worth 1,500 crore rupees, targeting the recovery of 40 kilotons of minerals annually from e-waste by 2030. Moreover, the India-Australia Critical Minerals Partnership of 2022 identified 5 lithium security projects, underscoring the China Plus One diversification strategy that will feature prominently in both prelims and mains answers on energy security and advanced manufacturing. Moving from minerals to culture, let us turn to the Medaram Jatra, also known as the Sammakkasaralam Jatra, Asia's largest tribal festival. This biennial gathering begins on the full moon of the Hindu month of Magh, which this year falls on January 28, 2026, in Medaram village of Mulugu district, Telangana. The event is set inside the Ethurnagram Wildlife Sanctuary, deep in the Dandkrana forest belt, and draws more than 1 crore devotees, second only to the Kumbh Mela in terms of attendance. What makes this festival unique is its purely tribal character. The Koya Adivasi community conducts all rituals, and the priests are exclusively from the tribe. There are no idols, worship is performed through bamboo totems, sacred trees and clan flags, known as Dalgudda. Devotees offer Bangaram, that is Jaggiri, as a symbolic gesture of agrarian equality, rather than gold or cash. The deities, Sammakka and her daughter Saralamma, are celebrated as mother-daughter warriors who resisted the Kakatiya dynasty's taxes and died defending their people, becoming enduring symbols of tribal resistance. For the UPSC, remember the location, Medaram, Mulugu district, Telangana, inside Ethurnagram Wildlife Sanctuary, the offering, Bangaram, the tribe, Koya, and the biennial frequency during Magh's full moon. Now, shifting to marine conservation, the Expert Appraisal Committee under the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change has asked Tamil Nadu to redesign the proposed International Dugong Conservation Centre at Manora in Thanjavur district. The directive is to ensure compliance with the coastal regulation zone norms and protect the surrounding seagrass habitats. Dugong Dugo, the seaco, is the only exclusively marine herbivorous mammal, unlike manatees, which inhabit freshwater. It is listed as vulnerable by the IUCN, placed in Appendix I of sites, and enjoys Schedule I protection under India's Wildlife Protection Act. Dugongs can grow up to 3 meters in length and weigh more than 400 kilograms, with paddle-shaped flippers and a whale-like tail fluke. Their keystone role lies in maintaining healthy seagrass meadows, which are vital blue carbon sinks. India's only significant dugong populations reside in the Gulf of Mannar and the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. In 2013, the Gulf of Mannar was declared the world's first dugong conservation reserve. The proposed center at Manora must now be re-engineered to minimize ecological impact, a point that will frequently appear in questions on CRZ regulations and marine biodiversity. Turning now to the entrepreneurial landscape, Startup India celebrated its 10-year anniversary on January 16, 2026, marked as National Startup Day. Launched by Prime Minister Narendra Modi on January 16, 2016, the program has propelled India to become the third largest startup ecosystem globally, after the United States and China, with over 2 lakh DPII-recognized startups as of December 2025. Remarkably, half of these ventures now originate from Tier II and Tier III cities, reflecting a broad-based diffusion of innovation. The nodal agency for the scheme is the Department for Promotion of Industry and Internal Trade under the Ministry of Commerce. The Fund of Funds for Startups carries a 10,000 crore rupee corpus managed by SIDBI and channeled through alternative investment funds. Startups enjoy a 3-year income tax holiday, capital gains exemptions and benefits under Section 80 IAC. The MARC portal, standing for Mentorship, Advisory, Assistance, Resilience and Growth, provides a digital platform for mentorship. For the exam, lock in the launch date, January 16, 2016, the DBIT as the nodal body, the 10,000 crore fund, and India's rank as the third largest ecosystem. In the sphere of accountability institutions, Lokpal marked 12 years of legal existence on January 16, 2026. The Lokpal and Lokayuktas Act of 2013 came into force on January 16, 2014. After decades of legislative attempts dating back to the first Administrative Reforms Commission in 1966. Its composition includes a chairperson and up to 8 members, with at least half being judicial and at least half drawn from scheduled castes, scheduled tribes, other backward classes, minorities or women. The chairperson must be a former Chief Justice of India or a former Supreme Court judge, and the tenure is 5 years or until the age of 70, whichever is earlier. Jurisdiction covers the Prime Minister, with certain restrictions, Union Ministers, Members of Parliament, and Group A to D central officials, as well as public sector undertakings. Justice Pinaki Chandra Ghose was the first Lokpal, appointed in March 2019. It is crucial to note that the Lokpal is a statutory body, not a constitutional one, and unlike the Central Vigilance Commission, it also investigates elected officials. Speaking of the Central Vigilance Commission, on the same day, January 16, 2026, Praveen Vashista, an IPS officer of the Bihar cadre, was sworn in as a Vigilance Commissioner. The CVC, originally set up by an executive resolution in 1964 and later given statutory status by the Central Vigilance Commission Act of 2003, consists of a Chief Vigilance Commissioner and up to 2 Vigilance Commissioners. Appointments are made by the President on the recommendation of a committee comprising the Prime Minister, the Home Minister and the Leader of Opposition in the Lok Sabha. The tenure is 4 years or until the age of 65, whichever is earlier. Its jurisdiction extends over All India Services Officers, Group A officials, public sector undertakings, as well as regulatory bodies such as the RBI, SEBI, and public sector banks. Remember, CVC is statutory, not constitutional, and its remit is limited to civil servants, unlike the Lokpal, which also covers elected representatives. Now, let us shift to railways. On January 17, 2026, Prime Minister Modi flagged off India's first Vande Bharat sleeper train from Malda town in West Bengal. The train runs on the Howrah-Guwahati-Kamakhya corridor, linking 10 major cities and shaving off roughly 2.5 hours compared with conventional sleeper services. It is a fully air-conditioned overnight train, an evolution from the earlier Vande Bharat chair car launched in 2019, and is built at the Integral Coach Factory in Chennai under the Make in India program. Ticket fares start at ₹2,300 for 3-tier AC, ₹3,000 for 2-tier AC, and ₹3,600 for 1st-tier AC. In the same ceremony, the Prime Minister also dedicated rail and road projects worth ₹3,250 crore in West Bengal and inaugurated additional Amrit Bharat Express services to Nagarkoila, Tiruchirappalli, Bengaluru and Mumbai from North Bengal stations. For quick recall, route Howrah to Guwahati, flag off point Malda town, manufacturer ICF Chennai, and fare slabs. Next, consider the Kaziranga Elevated Wildlife Corridor on National Highway 715 in Assam. The project, costing ₹6,956 crore, received 18 contractor bids, indicating strong private sector interest. The corridor features a 34.5-kilometer elevated stretch that allows animals, especially one-horned rhinos, elephants and tigers, to pass safely underneath during monsoon floods when they migrate from Kaziranga National Park to the Karbi Angalong Hills. A Wildlife Institute of India study recorded 63 large animal fatalities on this highway in a single year, prompting the National Board for Wildlife to approve the project with 34 specific conditions, ranging from speed limits to mandatory wildlife crossings. The implementation agency is the National Highways and Infrastructure Development Corporation Limited, which focuses on border and northeast highways, distinct from the National Highways Authority of India. Remember, the corridor is on the Kaliaborna-Maligarh section of NH-715, the total cost, and the 34 conditions imposed by NBWL. Turning to a critically endangered species, the Sangi deer, scientifically Rusavus LDLD, is facing a severe population decline. The deer, Manipur's state animal, lives only in Kabul Lamjau National Park, the world's sole floating national park situated on Loktak Lake. From a count of 90 in 2006, numbers fell to 76 in 2019 and further to 64 in 2023. With an effective breeding population of just about 7.5 individuals, far below the genetic diversity threshold. The primary threat stems from the Ithai Barrage, constructed in 1983 for the Loktak Multipurpose Hydroelectric Project, which raised lake water levels, eroded the unique fumdis, floating mats of vegetation, soil and organic matter, and introduced untreated sewage. A fresh census is scheduled for February 20-27, 2026, to obtain updated data. Key points to lock in: scientific name Rusavus LDLD, IUCN status endangered, Schedule I protection under the Wildlife Protection Act, habitat, floating fumdis of Loktak Lake, and the impact of the Ithai Barrage. Now, let us discuss India's role on the global stage. On January 1, 2026, India assumed the chairmanship of the BRICS grouping, taking over from Brazil. This is the first time India chairs the expanded BRICS Plus format, which now includes 10 members, the original 5 plus Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. The official BRICS 2026 logo and website, BRICS2026.gov.in, were launched on January 13. The summit theme, Building for Resilience, Innovation, Cooperation and Sustainability, forms the acronym BRICS. India plans to showcase its digital public infrastructure model for the Global South, advance AI governance frameworks and push for reforms in the United Nations Security Council permanent membership. For exam preparation, remember the chairmanship date, the 10-nation composition, the theme acronym and the upcoming 18th BRICS summit to be hosted in India. Lastly, on the energy front, GAIL India Limited completed a 694-kilometer natural gas pipeline linking Mumbai to Nagpur. About 96% of this corridor runs parallel to the Samriddhi Mahamarg Expressway, a 701-kilometer 8-lane highway, exemplifying the PM Gati Shakti National Master Plan's integrated transport utility approach. The pipeline will feed city gas distribution networks across Maharashtra, reducing reliance on coal and LPG for industrial users and contributing to the national gas grid objectives. The key details, GAIL, Gas Authority of India Limited, under the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, pipeline length 694 kilometers, collocation with Samriddhi Mahamarg, and its role in the broader gas grid strategy. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The National Critical Mineral Mission carries a corpus of 34,300 crore rupees for 2025-2031, with Kabil as the overseas acquisition JV of NALCO, HCL and MECL, and a 200 crore deal with Argentina for lithium. The Mineral Security Partnership involves 14 nations, while the Mines and Minerals Amendment Act 2025 gives central control over 24 strategic minerals. The Recycling Incentive Scheme is 1,500 crore rupees, targeting 40 kilotons of recovered minerals by 2030. The Medaram Jatra begins on January 28, 2026, in Medaram, Mulugu District, Telangana, inside Ethunagram Wildlife Sanctuary, with an attendance of over 1 crore and offerings of Bangaram. Dugong, listed as vulnerable, lives in the Gulf of Mannar and Andaman Nicobar, and the proposed conservation center at Manora must meet CRZ 2019 norms. Startup India's tenure mark features to lakh recognized startups, a 10,000 crore fund of funds, and a 3-year tax holiday. Lokpal, established under the 2013 Act, comprises a chairperson and up to 8 members with a 5-year tenure, and its first appointee was Justice Pinaki Chandra Ghose. The CVC, statutory since 2003, consists of a Chief Vigilance Commissioner and 2 commissioners, appointed by a committee of the Prime Minister, Home Minister and Leader of Opposition, for 4 years. The Vande Bharat sleeper runs from Hawija to Guwahati, flagged off at Malda Town, with fares ranging from 2,300 to 3,600 rupees, built at ICF Chennai. The Kajiranga corridor on NH715 costs 6,956 crore rupees, includes a 34.5 kilometer elevated stretch, and was approved with 34 NBWL conditions. The Sanghi deer population has fallen to 64, with a census scheduled for February 20-27, 2026. India now chairs BRICS, theme, Building for Resilience, Innovation, Cooperation and Sustainability, and the GAIL Mumbai-Nagpur pipeline spans 694 kilometers alongside the Samriddhi Mahamarg. Now, how does all this connect to your UPSC preparation? For prelims, remember the corpus of the NCMM, the composition of Kabil, the 40-nation MSP, and the 2025 Mines Amendment Act. For mains, think about energy security, critical mineral supply chains, China plus one diversification, and the EV ecosystem. The Medaram Jatra offers material for GS1 on tribal culture, intangible heritage and governance of scheduled tribes. The Dugong conservation case is a classic GS3 question on marine biodiversity, CRZ compliance and keystone species. Startup India provides fodder for discussions on the entrepreneurship ecosystem, innovation policy, and Atmanirbhar Bharat. The Lokpal and CVC data are essential for GS2 questions on anti-corruption institutions, statutory versus constitutional status, and the differing jurisdictions of these bodies. The Vande Bharat sleeper illustrates railway modernization and northeast connectivity, while the Kaziranga corridor is a prime example of infrastructure conservation integration under NBWL guidelines. The Sangay deer crisis can be used to discuss species-specific conservation, wetland management, and the conflict between hydropower projects and biodiversity. India's BRICS chairmanship feeds into GS2 topics on multilateral diplomacy, Global South leadership, and UNSC reform. Finally, the GAIL pipeline showcases the PM Gati Shakti model of integrated corridors, relevant for GS3 energy infrastructure questions. Each of these developments underscores a broader narrative: India is simultaneously building strategic autonomy, preserving its rich natural and cultural heritage, and positioning itself as a global leader. Keep these connections in mind as you craft answers, and let the details we have covered today become the solid foundation of your preparation.